Almighty God, God bless you, brothers, to each and one of you. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be here. Amen. To glorify our precious Lord. At the end of this is to give him honor and glory because he deserves it. My wife, Kayla, my son, are here with me today. He's also used to when the sister dance over there at church. He's used to getting in between. He's too much, but God bless you. God bless my family and God bless you as well. My family and I are from Mocorito, Sinaloa. We are happy to be here. Glory to God. I had a word, but God makes me feel in my heart and my mind and my life for me to tell you a little bit of what he's done in my life and how he's moved in me and my family and how he's worked in my life. Amen. I want you to go to the Bible. Thank you, Pastor, for trusting me with this place. May God multiply you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. And I say to the ones that already have the scriptures ready, if you guys can please stand up and say a big amen. I've gone through a lot of churches and I've been a little sick from my throat. We've preached, we sang, because we also go for the singing. Over there in Sinaloa, we have a band, Sinaloense, it's Christian, with tambora and everything, and we worship God. And we are 14 who worship, and my son, Ebenezer, helps me sing as well. And we are happy with God because he's given us that ministry. Next time, with time, we'll send the songs, and maybe we can sing a song with the band. Are you guys there, brothers and sisters? Sometimes I've gone to other churches and I've said, who lives? And they stay quiet. But not here, not here, right? Who lives? Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready with the scriptures? We read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says like this, the word of God. Brothers and sisters, God chose you to be his. Think about that. Not many of you were wise in the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had great influence, and not many of you came from important families, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and God chose what the world thinks is not important, what the world hates and thinks is nothing. He chose these to destroy what the world thinks is important. God did this so that no one can stand before him and boast about anything. You guys can bow your heads and close your eyes. God, powerful God, eternal God, King of glory, Father of mercy, that we come before you to worship, to glorify you, to enchant your name. I ask you and beg you in the name of Jesus, may only be your presence be felt in this place. Burn of my mouth any word of idol. Don't allow no word of man to come out of my mouth, but let it be your word to edify your church. I tie and repent any spirit of the devil that may be in this place. We rebuke it and cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare the freedom and the authority of your word upon this place. That your Holy Spirit be moved while I preach your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You guys can take a seat. And how I was saying, we come from Corito, Sinaloa, and you know the situation over there in those places. We have 20 years in this business, worshiping and glorifying God, Jesus Christ. We have 20 years ministering in the things of God, and we've seen a lot of things, brothers and sisters. But we are happy because God has been our stone of help. I want to tell you that I was born in a little town called El Palmar de los Leal, and we are 14 brothers, carnal brothers, 6 women and 8 men. My mom and dad took God's scripture seriously when God said, go and multiply. And they had 14 brothers, 8 women and 6 men. The 8 men were really lost. And someone asked me, and are they all alive? And I said, yeah, there's some dumb, some alive, but yeah, they're okay. Back in the day, it was difficult, you know, having a plate of food every 3 hours. She would make 2.5 kilos of tortillas, flour tortillas. Many of you guys have had flour tortillas because, oh my God, in Sinaloa, they're delicious. And we would eat it with a tea or coffee because there wasn't anything for more. And we would eat it once a day and we wouldn't wait for more food because there wasn't any. We had to eat what there was. We were 14, we were a lot of people from very scarce resources. Unfortunately, my father was an alcoholic and he really didn't pay attention to his children. My mom didn't really know how to read or write. Not any of my parents went to school. And they would work on the fields and agriculture. And they barely gave us any food. And my mom would wash other people's clothes for a living. And she would carry water for us. She would carry 3, 2 in her hand and 1 in her head. And I don't know how she would carry those buckets, but she did it. And she would climb up the hill with those 3 buckets of water. And that's how she would earn her money to feed us. I am number 11 out of 14. And under me, there's 3 more. And I am older than 3 of my siblings. And younger than 10. And I always had older brothers and sisters. But I also had brothers and sisters that were younger than me. And when I was born, my mom would tell me, and my siblings would also tell me, and at the age of 2, I had something that got to me that back in the day, it was really, really common, and it was polio. I don't know if you guys have heard of polio, but if you look it up on the internet, and what polio does to your body, it devours your muscles and your body. And the nervous system as well. It affects the muscle, so it eats it. It finishes it. That's why you see me that I can't move this arm. I can hardly lift this one up. My feet, my body, I can feel it, but I can't move it. I don't have the strength to. So at the age of 2, that sickness got to me. And imagine having that sickness and I was poor, my family was poor, and we had scarce resources. There wasn't any hospitals, anything for us to really go to. My mom took me to Mexico City in one occasion, and she asked for a ride. And she got in a truck, and she didn't let the driver know that she didn't have any money. All she cared was to take me to the hospital. And my mom didn't know how to read, write, and she didn't have any money. And even though she didn't have those resources, my mom had the opportunity to take me to a hospital in Mexico City called the Hospital of Children. The doctor told my mom that if by 12 midnight my body wouldn't react or I wouldn't react, that they would poke me with needles to see if my body would react. Because poliomyelitis, what it causes is to cause partial paralysis or permanent paralysis to the whole body. And what I had was total paralysis. When it's partial, it's only just one arm or a leg. I don't know if you guys seen other people have it, but I had total paralysis because of poliomyelitis.
and it left my body useless. And what my mom would tell me is that when I would get sick, my fevers were from 40 degrees. And those fevers were affecting my brain already. Because the fevers were too high, they were already affecting my brain function. And the doctors told my mom that if by 12 midnight, my body wouldn't react after poking my body with needles, that I was gonna stay paralyzed like a vegetable because only my eyes I would move. Because we've done tests and nothing would work for him. So my mom started thinking of all the need that there was. And after I turned two, I had a sister that was born, just born. So my mom was overwhelmed with not only with the newborn, but with me. And my mom would leave her behind with my dad and my other siblings because she had to take care of me, and she would leave without feeding the baby. So because there was so much burden, my mom said that she couldn't take it. So she said that in the fifth floor of the hospital, she opened the window and she tried to take her life away because she just couldn't with her life. She couldn't with all the circumstances and situation in her life. And as soon as she was about to jump, she heard a voice in her heart and in her mind saying, "If you jump, who's gonna watch over your kid? Who's gonna take care of your son? Because he can't move and you're the only one that can watch over him." But I'm sure that voice my mom heard was God. So after that, she kneeled next to the bed where I was in. And I don't know exactly what she asked God, but I'm pretty sure she asked for a miracle. For me, for my life. And my mom told me that before 12 midnight, exactly 2 minutes before, I started moving my little pinky. And it made my mom glad and happy, so she ran to the doctor and she told the doctor that I was moving. And the doctors told her, yes, his body's reacting to the medication we gave him. And I was able to move and my mom was happy. Glory to God. But when they tried billing my mom, knowing that she had no money, no resources, she told them, "You know what? Like, do what you gotta do. Send me to jail. I'm willing, but I have no cent to give you." And she told me that the doctor saw her and he told her that she was brave. And even the driver I was with, I didn't even give him money because I just didn't have any. So the doctors were merciful with her and they didn't charge her 1 cent. And my mom regretted it, so did my dad. And they gave their lives to Christ and they got baptized. And I told my mom, "Mom, did you already ask God to forgive you for the driver that you didn't pay and the doctors as well?" And my mom said, "Yes, son, I already asked God to forgive me for me doing those wrong things I did." And I grew with my brothers and sisters, and they used to use drugs. You know, they did cocaine, they did all sorts of drugs. And alcohol. And as I grew older, I couldn't walk. I had to crawl on my two hands like a baby. I lasted 14 years in that condition, dragging myself on the dirt, that I had blisters in my hands, and all my jeans were teared. As where I would drag myself, it was on my feet, and so my jeans were ripped. And I also had blisters on my knees and on my feet because I would drag them. I dragged myself in the time being of 14 years total. At the age of 9, I had already tried marijuana. And at the age of 10, I had already tried cocaine. And at 10 years of age, I was already addicted to tobacco and alcohol. I was a kid of 9 years of age, dragging myself on the dirt and being addicted to marijuana, cocaine, tobacco, and alcohol. And my head was full of lace and dirt because I lived in the dirt. And there was a stream of water where I would go and I would get drugged, and I would spend 2 to 3 days hiding there, getting drugged.
And my mom would go look for me, and she would think that I would go with someone far up, but no, I was hidden next to that stream of water.
And you know why? Because I wanted to die. I desired death at 10 years of age. Because the cause of life that I was living, the situation, the circumstance. And I would say, if there is a God, he's a mean God, because I would see kids my age running and going to school. And they would study, they would play, they would climb trees, amen? And they could do all these things and be in bicycles as well. And I couldn't do none of that.
And this recalcitrant bitterness started to grow in me. Sadness and bitterness towards people.
And with the world.
At the age of 10, 11 years of age.
And at the age of 12, I started using psychotropic drugs. At the age of 13, I started using cement and gasoline and everything that's trash of the devil. And I also started using heroin. I wouldn't inject it, but I would sniff it.
And I was a kid completely lost at 13 years of age and completely lost, dragging myself on the dirt with no hope whatsoever. And I wouldn't get drugged for pleasure. I would get drugged because I wanted to die. I wanted to end my life. And I wanted to overdose. And it actually happened. I overdosed, but God never allowed for me to die.
In the times that I would overdose, I would sometimes wake up in the hospital and they would put IV in my blood and my body so I can get stronger.
My mom would take me to the hospital and they would inject me with an IV.
And I would stayed in the hospital for days so I can get better.
And at the age of 14, with the people that I used to hang around with, they had girlfriends and they would go out and dance, and I would see them and I would cry and get frustrated and say, why am I living?
And at the age of 14, I get a hold of my brother's gun and put it in my mouth because I couldn't stand the way I was living no longer. And I said, I don't want to live this life no more. And I pulled the trigger twice and nothing happened. And that same night, my brothers and I, we all got drunk and drugged. And my brother grabbed a gun and started shooting all the bullets up to the sky. And I was looking for the bullets that I missed when I pulled the trigger twice. And I saw that there was one that failed. And I was like, but why did this happen? And you know why? Because there's a God of purpose, a God that can do it all.
Those who are near God, we're near for a purpose. We're not here just because our pastors called us. You're not here because you wanted to come or because you're a good person. You are here with an eternal purpose from God. That's what God does in a human being. Gives you an eternal purpose for you and your family. At the age of 14, I knew what shoes were. A random person gave me used shoes. They might have not been new, but to me, they were everything. They were treasure. And at the age of 14, someone gave me a wheelchair. And at the time, I didn't know there were such thing as wheelchairs. And when I saw the wheelchair, it was like if I seen a Lamborghini,
a Cadillac, or a converter car.
And I said to myself, wow, I'm no longer going to drag myself. And wherever I go, I'll just tell a crazy person to roll me over there. Glory is to God. And my wife laughs when I share this, but at the age of 17, I tried my first ice cream. I would just see it on TV and I would say, what would that taste like? Until I tasted it for the first time, I was like, wow. And that was like one of the best days of my life.
And during this time of age, I did even more drugs. And when I couldn't fight drugs, I would open the tanks of gasoline, and that's how I would get high. And I would also get high with paint thinner. There was a young kid that came from California. He was my age. He was 18 years of age, and I had made a cigarette butt, but I had put weed on it. And he said, wait, hold on. And then he started pouring this liquid on it, and
animal sedative.
And that crazy kid was more advanced than I was when it came to drugs. And I told him, man, leave me 4 or 5 or how many you have. And he said he had 6, so I told him to give me half. And what I would put in my body, it wasn't for pleasure. It was to overdose and hoping one day die. Because I no longer wanted to live. At the age of 18, I once again grabbed a pistol, a gun, and put it in my mouth to kill myself. And guess what, brothers? I pulled the trigger and nothing happened, because if something would have happened, I wouldn't have been here tonight. And the trigger didn't work, brothers and sisters. Why do you think it didn't work on me again? Brother, I saw the need of moving forward, wanting to die and wanted to no longer be here. One day, brothers and sisters, and this was the most beautiful day of my life. I was already 24 years of age and I was already 14 years in doing drugs. I was getting drugged, and I remember getting lost, and I hid for 3 days. And I was remembering this because I was only 13 years of age, and my mom and older brother found me on near the stream of the water, and they carried me, and I told them, you know what, just leave me here. And I remember that someone said, poor child, I don't even know why he's in this world. So, you know, the enemy started working in my head, and I started to believe that. And they would tell me I was worthless and that I was a burden to my family. And the enemy worked his way into that and made me believe for a long time that I was worth nothing. Like many of us, the enemy sometimes comes and attacks us. And he tells us that we can't do it, that we're worth nothing, and that we can't do it. But that's a big lie of the enemy, because we all have great capacities for God to serve him with all our hearts and all our souls. And I remember telling my mom, Mom, just kill me. I don't want to live. Just kill me. Just leave me here and let me die. And I was remembering that. So back to when I was 24, I rolled a marijuana cigarette and I showered it with cocaine. And I was getting drugged, but look at the mercy of God, how great God is. And when I was getting drugged, God saved me. And right there in the midst of getting drugged, I felt like someone touched me, that someone was looking at me. And I started looking to my sides. And over there in the month of January, you could see the stars low and how bright they are. And as I look up, I see the stars shining bright. And every star I saw, I felt like God was looking to me through each and one of those stars. And I grabbed the marijuana smoke and I crushed it in my hand and I threw it. And I started to cry. And the drugs I had, I would put them in a little jar, a little glass jar. And I had my cocaine, like all sorts of drugs in there. And I picked up the jar and I saw it and I said, Lord, if it's you, I need you to help me. And this is what I told him. I told him, I need you to take this away from me. I need you to do me a favor and remove all the need that I have on me. And I was crying when one of my youngest brothers came and he said, well, what happened? Did you stay high up? And as much as I could, I told him, no, God is here with me. And he fell on his knees and started crying with me. And we both started crying and crying because the presence of God was there. And that was the last night I ever drugged myself after 14 years of doing drugs. 14 years of bitterness and sadness. And I felt something struck me from head to toe, and I even grabbed my leg to see if I had something. And I felt that something came out and I started smelling something nasty. And now I understand that God was cleansing me right there and then. God was purifying me right there and then. Give him a round of applause because he deserves it. He deserves it. How are we not going to honor and praise the Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Since then, it was January 4th, 2001. I felt that God opened my heart and I started crying. And I cried for 45, 50 minutes without stopping. And I felt like God was cleansing me.
And that night, for the first time in my life, I felt what true peace was. And now I understand when the Lord said to his disciples, my peace I leave, and my peace I give you. But I don't give it how this world gives it. Amen, brothers and sisters. And you know why, brethren? Because we feel peace when we have money in our pockets. When our bank account has money. We even feel peace when we have a good car. And when we have food on the table. And our children are doing good. That's when we feel peace. But what happens when there's no money in our pockets? Or a good bank account or a good car? And no food. And your children start getting sick. What happens when all those things happen? That's where you can feel God's peace. That's the peace that God gives and God gives us. Because even though we're in the midst of the need, we can feel the power and the peace of God in our lives. The peace of God that overpasses all understanding. That's where we can feel God's peace in those situations. And we've experienced it. And I've told my wife, we have a little Sentra 2002 that when I put more than half a tank, it gets ruined because it's not used to it. I have to put a little bit to walk because it's not used to a lot of gas. When it has a lot of gas, it stops. And I told my wife, let's go speak at Wasabe, Sinaloa. And that's where she's from. And she's from Wasabe. And it's like an hour and a half from where we live. And she's the one that drives because I can't drive. And she tells me, the tank is basically empty. And believe me when I tell you this, that God has never left us. And I'll tell her, you know what? Go. Because we are in the business of our Father God. We are in his business. And if he wants the car to stop, then he wants us to have a picnic in the way. Right? He wants us to camp there, to sleep in the car, and so the kids can play. And so what if that's what God wants? But God has never left us. And wherever we get to our destination, there's always a brother that tells us, here you go for sodas. And in me, I'm like, man, this is not for sodas. This is for our gas tank. And they give me money and they tell me, fill up the tank. And I tell them, no, if I just give me the money, because if I fill up the tank, this car won't work. We're going to put it little by little. And so you see that God never leaves us. He has never left us. God has never allowed us to go without with food. We've always had machaquitas, some beans, some tortillas, eggs in the morning. It's a blessing. A beef soup with white bone. Glory to God. God has never left us. He's always been there for us. And we've always had a plate of food on our table. And you know something, brothers, something tremendous, that ever since I married my wife, ever since we've been married, we walk by faith. Her and I don't work, so we live by faith. We've been 13 years married, and ask me when she's left with having no food. Never, my brother. God has provided, and he has never left us, and he has always blessed us. And when there's nothing, when there's no money, and when there's no food on the table, I still pray for my food. I still pray for what God gives. And believe me, my brother, that works. And pray with faith. Do it with faith. I'm sure it doesn't happen here in the United States. The brothers have me in restaurant through restaurant. And they took me to a nice restaurant. And they gave me a big menu. And I closed my eyes and chose something. And when they brought the food, they brought me a pile of food. And I was like, wow, with this food we eat in a week over there where I live. And the first time I was here in the United States, it was in Arizona. I have two sisters that live in Arizona. They're undocumented, but they live in Arizona. They took me to a buffet, and I cried when I saw that people were throwing food away, full plates of food, throwing them away in the trash. Because I know a lot of people that go to sleep with no dinner. I have friends that struggle seeking food for at least an hour of food. And knowing that here, they throw full plates of food just like that to the trash can. And I was like, how is it there not something so I can take this food to Mexico to people who need it and give the food away to people in Mexico? And I started to pray and pray. And my invite tells me, I brought you to eat and you're over here crying, man. And I ate, and I ate the plate, and my sister was telling me, come on, ask for another plate. But no, I didn't get another plate until I finished the plate I had in front of me. And I only ate one single plate. And I ate all the food because I can't stand when people throw food away. Because for me, it's something really strong. And brother, that night that I got saved by the Lord, I slept with so much peace for the first time in my life. And a lot of joy and a lot of gratefulness that it's endless that till this day I have. To tell you that before having Christ in my life, I would wake up and I would curse the day. I would curse the day because I wasn't happy. And I would say, man, again, another day in this life. And I would start to complain. And ever since I got saved by God, I look out the window and I tell God, thank you for another day of life. Thank you for this joy that you've given me. Because I didn't know what happiness was. I knew it by periods of time when I would do drugs, but not like I do now. Like the joy I have now. I don't know if you feel joy, and if you don't, ask God to give you that joy of His Word, because it's the most beautiful thing that a human being can experience from God. And I woke up the next day, 4 or 5 in the morning, and I had to get drugged so I can eat breakfast. And for the first time, I woke up at 10 in the morning, and I slept all night with no need of drug. And to sleep, I had to hide a cigarette butt under my pillow so I can sleep through all my life. But that was the first night that I woke up in the morning and my body was not asking me for drugs. It wasn't asking me, but I was feeling a joy. And I sat on the bed and my dad was there. And I called my dad and I said, Dad, come here. Dad, come here. And he said, what do you want? Get down. And he got down and I kissed his beard, and he woke up my mom, and he said, what's wrong with him? And he would tell my mom, I don't know what's wrong with Saul. He kissed me. I don't know what drug he's taking now, because he was an old ranch guy, and he said that wasn't okay. And my mom would come and say, and I gave my mom a kiss, and my mom asked me what was wrong, and I told my mom, I have Jesus, I have God all powerful in my life, and you would no longer see me get drugged. And my mom fell on her knees crying because all her children were lost, the 8 men. But it's a great gift. And I told one of my siblings, his name is Joaquin. I had 100 pesos. And I said, brother, take me to the Tapo. Take me where the ranch is at. But I'm going to give you 100 pesos. And he said, okay, sure, I'll take you. And he took me, you know, for what? To go house by house, telling them what God had done in my life. And I would tell them, God changed me. He touched my heart. I no longer get drugged. I no longer need to use drugs. And they would tell me, good job, Saul. He's already crazy, and that's what they would say. And where I live, there's no neighbor that don't know what God has done in my life. And I would tell them, God saved me last night. He removed all need of using drug of me last night. There's a great joy in my heart. Brothers, after that, After that, I started to pray, and I saw the Bible, and I started reading the Bible and reading a book about fasting and prayer. And I remember that it said, for those who believe everything's possible, and for God nothing's impossible. And I have God, and nothing's impossible for Him, and I believe it. And so I got into fasting, and believe me, and God's my witness here. And God told me like Solomon, and everyone around the house thought I was crazy. And you know what I asked God? What I asked Him was, God, save my family. Save my family, Lord, because they're dying in drug addiction and alcohol. And my mom is dying of sadness for seeing her children lost. And you know what God told me? Get a paper and a pencil and write everything you want me to do with your family. And pray for that list. And every night from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., praying for that list. And I would anoint it with anointing oil. And to not make this any longer, all my family is turned to Christ. All my eight brothers have a church that they preach to in Sinaloa. My sisters turned to Christ. My brothers-in-laws, my sisters-in-law, they all serve God now. My nieces and my nephew all got converted to Christ. And more people are being saved. My mom and dad turned to Christ as well. They repented and they got baptized as well. And it's been such a privilege to baptize some of my own siblings as well. A lot of my brothers and sisters have baptized myself. They go to church over there in Juliacan. It's about 2 hours from where I live. And they assist to a church with their own ministers. And that church is big. And that church is divided in sections. And there's literally one whole section where the Familia Rosas take. My family takes that. Half the church is my family. It's about 60 to 70 family members that I have going in that church. Because they believed and they saw that crazy guy speaking of God. God uses the weakest things, the things that don't matter to people, to reach others. And God chooses. And I want to tell you something tonight. You have to know and understand this and know it. That for God, there's nothing impossible. That if you believe the things of God, everything is possible. That your goals and your dreams are possible. And even if you're older and if you've left those dreams and desires behind, don't drop your dreams or goals. Pick them up, because God can make them happen. Because for Him, there's nothing impossible. And I'll tell you this, and I'll close with this. And when I was young, I saw a program from, it was about lawyers and law enforcement that will fight for people. When I was 7, 8 years of age, I want to be a lawyer when I grow up. But I didn't go to school for that. We go to a place called La Peña in Juliacan, Sinaloa, every 15 days. And one of the times there was no entrance for no preachers. But one of the directors that were there gave me a badge of a lawyer. It was a credential that lawyers will wear on their chest to enter, that allowed them to enter whatever day and whatever hour of the day. And one of these times, my brother took me, and he was pushing me on the wheelchair. And when one of the secretaries were welcoming all the lawyers who had the badges on, and she shook my hand and said, welcome lawyer, welcome to this place. And I turned and looked at my brother and said, did you hear that? And he said, yeah, I heard her. She called you a lawyer. And I said, yes, I'm a lawyer for the souls that are in this place. And I come to fight for these souls. You see, for God, there's nothing impossible. Give a big round of applause to Christ, because He deserves it. How many of you guys looked at the program Chavo del Ocho? I remember that Lucas el Chaparrón would always tell him, "Tell me, lawyer," in the show. God is so beautiful and so merciful and powerful that all the things that you have in your heart to do it for God, God can make it possible. God can make it happen. There's no greater need or problem that God can't fix or can do. You know what the Lord told me, my brother? In prayer, because prayer is the only thing that can help me. He told me in my heart, whatever battle or circumstance that come your way, you have to learn to fight it because I've already won them myself. All the trials that would come your way, I've already won them. What we have to do is confront the problem, confront the circumstance, confront the trial. Not run away from them. Do not run away from them. Don't run from them. Confront them, my brothers. If you knew everything that my wife and I have gone through, I wish I had more time or some other time that I can talk to you about my testimony about my marriage with my wife. It was a miracle of God, my brothers and sisters. It was another miracle of God because I asked God for a beautiful wife, an intelligent wife, and young. With all due respect to all the women here, that's what I asked the Lord for. She's the most beautiful in the world. And I said, Lord, I don't want an old lady who can hardly move, bald. Because there were people that would tell me, come on, at least marry an old woman. And I was like, no, I'm already 30 years of age. I need a young woman, beautiful, that can help me. And if we're going to ask, we need to ask right. And God asked me for whatever you want. How was I going to ask God to give me an old lady, an old woman? And what I asked God was a fearless woman, beautiful and intelligent that could help me. And he gave me my wife, and glory to God for that. My wife, Kayla, my brothers. And later I'm going to talk to you about our testimony. And I'll tell you how our relationship went. That was another miracle of God. With signs and miracles, my brothers and sisters. And God gave her to me. And my brother, and I'll finish with this, and I'll go close my Bible so we finish, because you won't believe me then. Today, ever since the Lord called me to preach, he called me as a pastor. There was a church where the brothers would get together from Juliacan, and I had 3 months converted, and they put me as a pastor. And I was like, I'm a pastor. And I didn't know the big deal, the big situation I was getting into. Yes or no, Pastor. And I didn't know into what I was getting myself into. And there's brothers that tell me, oh, Pastor, I want to be a pastor. And I say, oh, be quiet. You don't know what you're asking for. Nah, you should rather ask to be an evangelist, a teacher, or something else. An apostle or something else, or whatever you want. But don't ask to be a pastor. Because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. It's difficult, my brother and sister. It's really difficult. They put me as a pastor. And we're pastoring a church right there in the ranch where I live. We have another church near that same village where I live. In Wasave. When we leave, I was telling Pastor, do you know the famous Tigres del Norte from the worldly music? Well, I'm from there. And we're going to open another church. We already prayed and we fasted. Now we just have to go and open a church right there in that village. And I know well that God will have my back, because he's always had my back. So I ask for your prayers for this ministry. We are the family Rosas Mendon. That when you're praying, that you may remember Brother Saul and his family. And his ministry and his churches that God gave us. My brothers and sisters, I want to say a prayer for you guys. I've seen a lot of things. I've prayed for a lot of people. And miracles have happened. One time when I was praying, someone said, healer, heal yourself. And that's what they told Jesus, and they told him, if you are the Son of God, get off the cross and heal yourself. And I was actually glad that I heard that, because I said, I don't need to arise from this chair to make a miracle for you. And I've seen I've seen everything. I've seen miracles. I've seen how God has healed people. I've seen with my own eyes how he's removed tumors from the uterus of a woman. Get on your feet. I want to pray for you guys tonight. If you have a need or a problem or a pain or a sickness, tonight God wants to heal you and bless you. He wants to give you what you need tonight. Don't start praying for your children. God listens to your prayers. My family was saved by God. We were a family that were going to hell. We were a family that didn't have hope in this world. It was a family that was only dedicated to fail. But God came into our life. Jesus came with his great mercy, and he chose the weak that couldn't do anything for the family. God chose me, and he chose me in a way and that saved my family. Because when they saw that I no longer needed drugs, they started asking me, "What you're feeling? Tell me the truth. Is it true what you're feeling in your heart, that it's God? And no one can do this but God." God saved my life and touched my soul. And I want you to feel the same thing that I feel, that you feel that joy, that peace, that tranquil. I want you to feel it. I will tell my brothers, and I want you to experience the love and mercy of God. And the King of Kings came into our home and changed everything, changed all our lives in our home. And now my siblings preach the gospel and preach the word. My mom and dad already went to heaven, but they went to Christ. They left knowing that their children were in good hands. They left knowing that the weak, the most sad one, and the most needy one was the key to arise. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you tonight. You've been so good to me, Father. You've been so good to me with you. And I am so grateful for what you've done in my life, for what you've done in my family. God, thank you. Never again I would stop worshiping you. Never again I would stop worshiping you, God, because you've brought contentment. You've brought a new life into my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, there's a bunch of believers here who have believed in you, who have trust in your word. And tonight I ask you and I beg you that you arise the lives, this ministry, that you take it to other places, that there always be your presence in this place, that you may take it further, and that you be in this ministry, that you be in the middle, because when you're in the middle, you prosper, God. Heavenly Father, thank you for my sisters and brothers that are here tonight. Don't allow that they leave how they came, but give them a fresh anointing of your spirit, God. God, thank you. I don't know if there's someone here tonight that say, "Brother, I want you to pray for me in specific. I can lay my hands on your forehead and I can pray for you, whatever problem, whatever need." If there's someone and that say, "I want you to specifically pray for me," you just have to come to the front and I can pray for you.